Hello, I am Naomi Gebru. I'm 19 years old and I'm a student at Concordia College, Moorhead, Minnesota. It is currently November 12, 2021, and I am sitting here with Mubina Rasulova, who's a 21-year-old freshman at Concordia College, Moorhead, Minnesota as well. Hello, Mubina, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good as well. So I have a few questions for you. The last time we talked, I know that you're from the central part of Asia, but where exactly are you from the central part of Asia?
Yes, so I am from Uzbekistan and specifically from the capital city called Tashkent. Yes, I was born and raised in my country for the most part of my life.
So, being raised there, did you have any siblings? Growing
Yes,
up.
at that time I had one sister, and I lived with my grandparents and my parents, and also my mom's parents were also alive, so we had a connection with them throughout the whole time.
That's right. Can you explain to me more about growing up in Uzbekistan and how it was and everything?
Yeah, so growing up in Uzbekistan was a it is a lot different compared to US, how kids are being raised here. You can say that in Uzbekistan, culture, traditions, and holidays are very different. Culture-wise, we are all very family-orientated, and we do a lot of gatherings with friends and families and relatives, and holidays are another big part of our culture. And so as growing up, I always imagined my country as a one part of paradise, and thought it was a very beautiful country, and it is. It has a lot of history and historical buildings, and plus we have a lot of sweet fruits in every person's backyard growing, and we would enjoy those fruits and go on lakes for swimming after schools in summer, or with my cousins. It was a lot of fun growing up.
So, when you said growing up, I thought it was all a part of a paradise. Was there some part of it that wasn't a paradise?
Yes, so I will give you a little background history of my country. Uzbekistan gained its independence in 1991 when the Soviet Union has failed. That's when they became independent and decided to elect a president. So when the election was going on, one of the people who was being elected was, or being, considered to be a president, was named Islam Karimov, and he has made a promise to the whole population that he will make Uzbekistan a better place for them and easy to practice their religion. And this was the key point for him to be chosen to be a president. Everybody liked that idea because Uzbekistan is considered to be a Muslim country. So, I mean, most of the people there are Muslims, and you do find some Christians and other religions, but they're very minority. So the idea was very much liked by the people, and they did elect him as a president. But after some time, maybe within few months, when he had to make laws and create new things in the constitution, he decided that we should not allow the religion of Islam to be practiced in order to avoid extremism.
Was he Muslim himself?
he is Muslim,
mm-hmm.
but what he's trying to say from this is that you can be a Muslim, there is no problem with that, but you should not be practicing examples, you should not be praying in public, or you should not be wearing dresses or headscarves or beard that represents a Muslim. So that's considered to be a practicing Muslim, and or anything you learn from Quran, you should not teach it to anybody else. He thinks that will lead to terrorism, extremism, which will then cause the country to have a war. So
as a Muslim himself, he thought of this, and religious practices were banned from Uzbekistan. Is that right?
Yes, as a Muslim leader, he thought we should be a little bit more modern and maybe develop some adopt some Western culture to our countries, and in order to have that peace treaty with other countries. He does not want anything to enter Uzbekistan.
And did that affect you and your family or the people around you?
Actually, this had a big effect on my family, because my dad, my father, who was a businessman at that time, had imagined what worse can happen in the future, and he decided that he wants to move out of the country and somehow bring us also with him. Possible at that time when he was making the migration from Uzbekistan, because he can only use his business visa to come here and then maybe do the paperwork later on and then invite us to US. That took a long progress and long years of, maybe I think it took 6 years for him to be able to fix everything and call us here. Meanwhile, when he left with this plan of bringing us to US and having our rights to practice our religion in freedom, I was 7 years old and I just started school, and I decided to put on my hijab, just like my mom, because she was my inspiration. And that was just another that's just another way of serving God as a Muslim woman. So we have to obey him and wear a hijab and be more modest, as you can say.
So wearing a hijab was really important to you at that age?
Yes, I thought it was important to me, although that's not what Islam tells. Islam tells that you should wear it maybe at the age of 9 or 10 when you're a little bit older and hit puberty. But I decided to wear it a little bit early, because as a young girl, I had no idea of what can come in my way if I was to just practice my religion and put on hijab. I had no idea what would happen to me, because everything, like I said, looked very pleasant, something like a paradise. Everybody is enjoying their lives, you know, and everything is peaceful. But then once I put on my hijab and went to school, I was called into principal's office and was told that I should take it off. That's when I came to know about that, about the whole hatred towards practicing Muslims, and that that we're not allowed to be publicly doing those things.
What exactly was your principal's reason to tell you not to wear your hijab or to take it off?
Obviously, the principal has to obey the laws, and the laws are set by the president. At that time, he ruled for 25 years. So over 25 years, whoever, and I was there, I grew up under his leadership until when I was 13, so he was still there. And all the principals and all the work facility leaders was told that nobody in this building should be wearing a headscarf, or if it's a guy, should not be having a beard. Because that's the representation of a true practicing Muslim. So when I was told to take it off, I went home and discussed it with my mom, and we decided to come to principal's office and request them if there's any other way for the alternatives. And they said, we can actually, I can be assigned as a nurse in the class. Like, I just take care of all the cleanliness of the students. Like, if how, you know, cleanliness meaning their nails, their hair, their clothes, if it's clean or not, then I would just take it off. But for that, I couldn't have a uniform, a special uniform with a head cap on, which then can cover my hair. So I was so happy to hear that. And I started from that point of first grade until seventh grade wearing my head cap, not a scarf, but like I mentioned, it still covers my hair. Yeah, so it was going very well for me at that point.
So you were not neglected at any point. Everything was good. You had your head cap on and nothing happened.
Everything was going good. Although some time to time I did feel like an odd one. I was the only one who was wearing it. But then there was one day when I was just sitting in my class and listening to my teacher at that time. One of my classmates just decided to come. I think it was a break time. I'm sorry. It was a break time between classes. But then I was just sitting there minding my own business. And then one of my guy classmates decided to come and just pull off my head cap. I don't know why he did that. But he then started laughing at me and, you know, making jokes and stuff. So I just packed my stuff and left the school and never wanted to come back. And I got really emotional about it and talked to my mom. And as I mentioned, I mean, my father was still absent. He was still in US trying to figure out how can he get us here. So I felt like alone. Although my mom was there, you always need a fatherly figure to be with you in these kind of emotional times to, you know, support you and give you a little bit of encouragement. But I didn't have that at that time. I would barely talk to my dad like once a month because of the phone connection was being, it was expensive at the time, like to call and stuff. So I just really hoped that either I would not return to school or I would come to US. My mom said, just finish off your school. Don't worry about it. Stay strong. And one day, you know, with the help of God, your dad will bring us to US. And that happened in that same summer. I graduated seventh grade and then my dad gave us the good news that we can finally migrate to US.
That's amazing. So when you came to the US, did things change? Did you find them the way you thought you'd find them? Or did you start practicing your religion?
Yes. Yeah, so as soon as we came to US, one of the biggest things that happened was my own sister had put on a hijab right away after we left the gates. And we saw my father and we all hugged each other and shared this happy moment of finally being able to practice our religion freely. And that was just the first step. And then my dad decided to put us in a private school just to protect us, because in that private school, it was only Muslim kids. And one, we were new to the country. We don't know the language. And two, we're Muslims. He didn't want to just throw us in the public school where we could be facing, you know, racism and stuff like that. So that's the way he set up things. He put us in the Islamic school. That's where I went to my junior high school and my high school. But I was not completely done with my high school. I left at 10th grade. The reason why I left at 10th grade is to, now I want to learn more about Islam and actually maybe become a scholar. Like, you know, there's a scholarly education that's provided in some schools in New York that is called madrasa, and they contain like 6 years of program where they teach you everything about Islamic studies, and there's a lot to learn. I started that school, but I did not complete it. I only studied for 3 years in that school, and I got married.
Perfect. So you got married while you were at Madrasa. Okay. So can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes, so I got married, and my husband is not from Uzbekistan. He's actually from India.
Mm-hmm.
And Islam does teach us that it is better to be mixed with other ethnicities, because we should not become racist. You know, we should not be only picking our own tribes or you know, country people. So that's one of the reasons why I got married to a different person, mm-hmm. from another culture. And two, he was a religious person, as I think I am,
mm-hmm.
also. And he was also, he had a good education, which my parents love. They love education. So my dad thought that he would be the right person to get married to. And so we both got married when I was 19 and had our daughter when I was 20.
Okay. And now that you have a daughter, how is it like raising her as a Muslim woman in the US?
So raising a child is not easy, as you may know, because it comes with a lot of responsibilities. And I know that me and my husband should focus a lot on our daughter with religiously, and also we should provide her education in this country. That we want her to be a physician one day. We hope she does, because as a family we have one goal, that I'm also majoring in biology.
Mm-hmm.
My husband is already a medical student, a graduate, so he's gonna be finding a job soon. So we all want to you know, one day provide free healthcare to the people.
Mm-hmm.
In this country, if it not back home, because we know that healthcare is always the most important and also one of the hardest things for the people to be able to, you know, afford, because healthcare is, as you know, it's very expensive. And back home also, it's a lot of struggle. We somehow want to help people at the same time to show them that, you know, practicing your religion and becoming more, how do you say, becoming more sincere, mm-hmm. in your beliefs will never stop you from doing good and helping other people. You can still be educated and you can still help people and also represent your religion through that, you know.
Yes.
So first thing, we want to teach our daughter her religious values and teach her her culture maybe one day.
Do you think raising her in Uzbekistan would have been different than raising her here?
Yeah, raising her in Uzbekistan would only be different because she would then adopt a lot of cultural values there. And, you know, there's a lot of good that comes with it. But then at the same time, it will be really hard for her to, she would have to go through struggles that me and her father also went through in India. I think it's the same story there. So we both had struggled with our religion, and I don't want her to face that. I want her always think that practicing your religion is never a crime. You can always do it freely. But then that's why I mentioned we still want her to know her culture and things like that. So we want to take her back to country in the vacation maybe, and then for a few months she will spend some time with family and relatives back home.
That's really an amazing goal and plan that you have. So you completely believe that migrating to America has given you the freedom to practice your religion?
Yes, I do believe that the migrating to US has given us the freedom to practice our religion, although time to time we do face some difficulties due to some incidents that happened in the past, specifically in US. One is 9/11, and some people still have that idea of Muslims being very violent people and stuff like that. That's one of the reasons why I want to show them how peaceful and helpful we can be through our education.
And oh, through your education. Perfect. Thank you. That was an amazing interview. I felt like I got to know you more, and I hope you can still get to practice your religion freely, and that your dad's goal really is reached and keeps getting reached in the US.
Yes, thank you so much, Naomi, for this interview.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here and being okay with doing this interview with me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Have a great rest of your afternoon.
You too. I don't.